How's everything going, man?
Good, good. Kindlepreneur continues to grow slowly but surely, which is awesome. And Kindle Rocket, the software, is good. We have potential launch date of June 1st.
Nice.
I have a landing page right now that's been collecting emails. I'm at about 600 people on the subscription, so it's not too bad. Traffic has come from I just dropped an email to my list on Kindlepreneur, but I've also been kind of slowly talking about it with other authorities and everything, and so they've been mentioning it from Katie Davis to Carol Tice of MakeALivingWriting.com. And so right now, though, I think my biggest question that I'm coming up with is exactly what do you deliver to a growing email list that wants, your software? And what's funny is that I haven't even written the first email, and I've been struggling kind of going back and forth about, okay, what should I do with this? One thing is that I want to get buy-in from the people. I want them to feel like they're a part of the creation of the software. It'll be great to
Think we lost Dave.
people are really yeah
It paused for a second, at least just for me.
oh
Maybe it was
sorry
just me. You said you wanted to get people involved, and that's kind of where it cut off for me.
okay And so what I'm thinking about it is in the first email, segmenting the list, make one segment, like click here if you want to go behind the scenes and be a beta tester, and then if not, then I'll be talking about what we're doing, and here is more information about Kindle keywords and how to do your research and so forth. And then I planned out content on Kindlepreneur, so 1 month before the actual launch, all the content's going to be very focused on validating your book ideas and Kindle keywords.
Did we lose Dave?
We're done. There will be a lot of guest posts, on a lot of websites, and the beta software should be out hopefully in a week. So,
That's awesome, man. Good work, dude. I mean, 600 on a software when you and your landing page is awesome. It's super simple. People should check it out. I just posted it in the chat. It just has one clear statement and an opt-in to get it or to get access to it when it comes out kind of thing. I mean, it's so simple, but that's all you need. And if you have 600 people opting into that, those are arguably very interested people, very interested buyers. My question is to you right now, if I opt in, what happens? Do I go through a series right now? Or are you doing any kind of like viral component, anything like that?
Sorry, I'm back now.
Hey, yeah. So I was wondering if with once I sign up for your, are you still there, Dave?
Yeah, I'm still here. I just turned off the cam just in case.
That's fair. So my question was, if I opt into your list right now, are you introducing any type of viral component on the back end?
See, that's where I'm failing right now is that I haven't put together the strategy. It sounds terrible, but I haven't really put together the strategy with the emails. I'm dead. One thing I am going to do, here's a list of the things that I hope to do, but I don't know if these are good ideas. One is to create a beta test group. Another is to kind of show pictures of me and my team actually working on the software. We're creating some infographics, information about Kindle keywords. Like, there's just so much, and I feel as though I'm about to like barf all over them with the information.
Well, you have a good handle on this market, man. So I think you actually probably have the answer. You just kind of need to say this is going to be my pre-launch content. It's going to be this infographic. Then I'm going to have a video presentation showing my team behind the scenes building it. Then I'm going to have a case study of myself or somebody using it. And then, you know what I mean? Like, just think about like, okay, if this is the date is in June, I would say think about three kind of solid pre-launch pieces of content. I think an infographic is great, especially if it requires people like opt in to get like the high res or something like that. Some sort of general kind of lead magnet piece. any case studies are always interested if the person's like actually like specifically interested in the topic. And here's the deal. If people are coming to Kindlepreneur, they are. So nobody's coming there who doesn't care about self-publishing, let's be honest, right? So you already have like a demographic of people who are interested in self-publishing. So if you can show case studies of like basic people using the software, newbies and stuff like that, and getting awesome results, that's the kind of stuff that's going to get people very, very interested in your software, especially if it like points out the things that like they struggle with the most. And again, I think you know what that is in the self-publishing space, so I won't dig into it. But I would say nail down what you would consider maybe like when you think about your launch plan, think about three emails that you can send or three blog posts, three pre-launch pieces of content that you can publish on your blog in lead up to it. I don't know, maybe once a week or something like that. I think your publishing schedule is a little less than that right now, but maybe you do in the lead up to it, you do like a every once a week for 3 weeks leading up to it. Then do a preview for the day before for anybody who's on your list. Don't do a blog post, just do an email to them, a quick preview of the thing. I would say do two things. I would say one, give a lifetime discount potentially. I don't know. This is just an idea. So it depends what you're doing. A monthly, it's a mo monthly or is it just one time purchase price?
No, it's just one time purchase price.
Darn. Okay, that's right. We had this topic discuss or we had this talk before, didn't we? Because I think it could be good software as a service type thing eventually. So, but with that, then I think you just what you can do is to get people like prepped and ready for the launch is see what you can do to incentivize people purchasing that opening day, like that first 24 hours, just to really blow it up. And I would say maybe if you want to like do something like a free training series or something like that, where you just host like a webinar showing how to use it or something like that, anything like that to incentivize buying. Because I'm guessing the price point is pretty cheap. It's like what, $50 or something like that.
It'll be $67.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna buy it, but I think that's an absurdly cheap. But I mean, I think at the end of the day, so I wouldn't do any discount. Like I wouldn't do a discount, but I would say, hey, you know, prep your pre-launch content, release it. I mean, again, the price is so cheap, honestly, for that. I don't even know if you need to necessarily do much around it, except just because you already have a list of 600 people, you know, pump that list. And I don't know. If anything, I might suggest you say this is the pre-launch price right now at 67, and it's going to go up to 97 in like a week. I don't know if that hurts. I don't know. Okay, so I think you're mimicking this against other types of software in the space, aren't you, right now? The price point.
Yeah, but you know the one thing that's we're adding something to it that I think is going to be kind of mind-blowing is that I mean you've heard of merchant words, right? Hello?
Yes, sorry, I muted myself.
Oh, no problem. So basically it's going to do merchant words. That's one of the big things that we're adding right now that's just kind of like it was a large hurdle, but what's really cool is that the software will be able to immediately tell you know, how many times per month people are typing this into Amazon, and it's going to do all the analysis for you to figure out the competition. So I'm really excited about it, and I know that it's going to be a very easy sale. And I've had a lot of, you know, a lot of people reach out about wanting to immediately become affiliates for it. So I think it will sell well with, you know, with the market. But you know, we're looking at also upgrades as well as we go. We're already planning for who is mine? Sorry, if my microphone's creating that, I've got my
Just
headphones
creating
on.
an
Oh,
echo
other
for a
day.
second, but it's better now.
Okay, so anyways, we're looking at doing a booster pack, and booster pack is going to be something that will probably come out in about 4 or 5 months or so. And what it will do is that after you've done all your keyword research and it's listed all these things, you hit the booster button, and it will go through and it will pull every like all those books that you're looking at in the in those keywords. It's going to pull all of the categories that they rank for, and it's literally going to stack them from easiest to rank number one for to hardest. Yeah, out of those categories. So within like with a click of the button, it will choose the best category for you, so that you can get that Amazon bestseller, you know, quicker. So
Yeah,
at
that's
least that's
awesome. Are
some
you
upgrades.
rolling are you rolling out with a an affiliate program?
Yes. Yep.
All right, you should shoot me details about that, man. I'll do an email for sure about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's another thing too, is that, you know, I don't want to take up too much of the time, but I'm also really trying to plan out content for affiliate, because one of the things that I've learned, you know, is that we get hit up all the time about, hey, you know, I got this software, I got this course, or I got this training, I got this, you know. And I mean, there's a lot of times where it really works out well and you're like, oh, this is great fit. But I'm not ready to talk about this for like another couple months because it's going to take me a while to get used to your software. I won't, you know, and that kind of thing. So I'm really trying to, you know, ensure that we create some type of support for the affiliates. I think the affiliates are going to be a big aspect to the business. I mean, I have my resources. Those will exhaust, but it also helps me as a business grow too. So I just really want to develop something that's very useful for the affiliates so they can be successful as well.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, man, the price point is so cheap that, you know, for better or worse, I think the conversion rate should be high. I would expect with a, you have over 20% off of that list. That's what I would guess. Cause it's just so cheap. It's like an impulse purchase type thing, especially for what it promises and compared to what's already out there. So I would say, yeah. And I agree completely with the affiliate stuff, man. I'm like neck deep in that stuff too. And if you can provide just basic swipe copy for people to roll out with some images, yeah. And maybe three, you know, two to three, not even, you really, again, because the price is so cheap for you, you're not selling a $1,000 product, which might require multiple emails or touch points. $67, you might need one, at most two emails. And so if you have that geared up, ready to go, and you can provide that swipe copy to affiliates, man, I mean, it'll be killer, especially if you can do something like, I don't know, there's a lot you can do. I don't want to get too taken away with it, but we can come back to you in a second. I want to get to other people as well, but I think you're killing it, Dave. I think you're right on track, man.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Totally. So who else we got? I see Nick. Are you out there, my man? Give Nick a couple seconds here, and then...
Yeah, I'm out here. Just had a hard time unmuting myself there.
It's all right. That's okay. I know Canada is it's a tough place to figure out how to unmute yourself, right?
Well, they put that mutey button in the wrong spot. It's difficult.
How's everything going, man?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. I'm still in the regrouping phase after my last little bit, focusing on some of the more pressing real world matters. So
okay.
My wife and I have a historic home in a cute little downtown area. We got a little bed and breakfast going. And so
nice.
I'm knee deep in a bathroom reno at the moment. I spent all day framing up walls and floors to put in a really nice tiled shower in one of the rooms so that we can jack up the price this summer.
Awesome.
Not quite the same business that we're talking about here. It's not scalable and it's, I mean, there's only so much space and it's pricey to make more. So, but it's good. It's a little bit of fun. And, I got back from the Bahamas last week. I was teaching scuba diving. So, can't really complain about any of that.
That's awesome. So yeah. Beyond the Airbnb, unless that's your new focus, I'm curious, what are your thoughts going forward with, either the shoveling software or if we're going to be moving on to something new and kind of what your lessons learned are now that you've had a little bit more space from it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to move on to something new. Looking at the software side, the lessons learned are still software is it's complex, it's tricky, and finding the right person to develop it in the first place.
Plug it into your room and call from in there.
Or you could just plug it into your room and you could call from there, I suppose. That's awesome.
Sorry about that. I unmuted myself. Sorry.
Hey, that button's hard to find. What can I say? That's what she said, right? So in terms of lessons learned, yeah, software is tricky. Finding the right team to do it is a big deal. I think that in the space I was going, it looks like it's going to be a very crowded space next year with a bunch of people that are software developers crowding out the space. So I'm going to move on to something new. I'm just not sure where that exactly is going to be.
Okay.
Yeah, that's we got into this thing. I had a project when I started, and you guys have all been talking about all kinds of different ways to start a business, run a business. There's all kinds of great ideas. And now I'm sitting here going, well, holy crap, I have to decide on something now. and it's... It's almost overwhelming with a potential, but at the same time, I want to find something that I'll really be passionate about and really have good follow through, and maybe stay away from developing software for the first round.
That's fair. I was going to say, I mean, I'll be honest with you, man. I don't know many people. Well, maybe Antonio excluded or Dave Chesson. But I think most people probably, or I guess John, Entrepreneur on Fire, I guess he kind of killed it out the gate too. But I think a lot of people, I know I failed out the gate a lot, man. I did a lot of stuff that didn't work at all. And even the business I have now, it's like kind of 180 from what it started. And so but I kept kind of iterating. So I kept hitting those like points where it just like failed. I was like, okay, you have to just like wash your hands and then get back to work and figure out a way that you can make it work. And so I guess my challenge to you would be not to keep going forward with software, but I guess I would wonder, one, if there's any like key learning lessons you take away from this, like in terms of like if you were to, because we kind of went over that last time, but like taking those in and saying, is there something no with that what you've learned that you could one it, you know or one iterate again, which it sounds like you don't necessarily want to do in this space, which is fair. But two, if there is something that you did find that was a need while you were producing this, because I think that's the bigger thing, that when you find, even if a project fails, that if you're attempting something, well, the best learning lesson isn't, you know, okay, you might learn some tech piece or you might learn this or that about software, but the most important thing you can learn is from the actual customer. So I'm curious if from that initial launch, even though it didn't go as effectively as possible, if you had learned anything reasonable, like in that context, or if that's even a market that you want to serve, I guess would be the question. If that was a market you would want to continue serving, I guess if there's anything you can take away and say, yeah, can I spin this into something new?
Yeah, it's the consumer consumer to consumer market for small jobs and tasks, unskilled stuff is it is truly ripe for development. People are really hungry to have somebody else come and do their work for them for a reasonable price when they want them to do it. I mean, this is the reason Uber exists and Airbnb, and I think that pulling it off in the right way is going to be challenging. And I think there's a lot of companies right now that are really trying to do it. So since I had my project, I've seen a dozen, two dozen other companies come along for something in the same kind of space. And it's a technology piece and it's a programming piece. I think that really is it, that's all it is. If you could put the software together that works for people, but I think that's a little beyond my engineering capability. So I want to look more into it, maybe a bit of a different space for sure.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You ask me
Hey,
to
man.
teach you how to dive, and I'll teach you how to dive, but you ask me to program some software, I see the need, it exists. And if I had a few $100,000 kicking around to pay a bunch of top-end developers for a little while, I'd probably still chase it. But, you know, it's a funding piece.
Hey, man. I'll tell you what, and even if you had that money, you don't know. Maybe it would go away just as quick as you got it, kind of thing.
Well, that's
Just
just it, and maybe I'd spend it on something else. I mean, there's lots of opportunity when you got that cash in the bank. So, I'd really like to start a business like what we've been talking about here, where we really go prove the concept, pre-sell some stuff, build something scalable, get a following, all of that. And it's just the specific space that I want to be in, and the specific thing, the niche I want to find is, I mean, it's up for grabs. I've been a jack of all trades for so long. Niching down almost seems crazy, even still.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm building a friggin' bathroom. I'm doing tiling and carpentry work, and you know, a week ago I was teaching diving, and that's kind of been my norm for so long that the niche idea is still, oh, that's too small.
Yeah.
You know, I got to get over that at the end of the
Yeah. And Tony, I don't know if you have 2 cents in here. You want to throw something in here?
day.
I will say this, Nick, for you, from my perspective, is just that I guess like again, you cut your losses. You accept, hey, this didn't work out. I think that's totally respectable. It's not like it's no big deal. In my opinion, it's no big deal. Yeah, it'd be great if it worked out. You could have done, version 2.0. But hey, at least you learned it quick, and you're moving on to the next thing. I would say this, man. I would challenge you on this one, because if you're the kind of person who does move on, like project to project, you do a lot of different stuff. I would think like put some time into kind of like brainstorming and kind of like, but like kind of methodical brainstorming, and think about like literally like the audience that you would want to serve. I think. Because these are different, definitely like disparate audiences. People who need their shovels or their driveway shoveled, you know, scuba diving, you know, fixing bathrooms. These are definitely disparate audiences. And I wonder if, like, if there's something, though, that draws you always back, that you always find yourself kind of compelled by. That's always a good place to start, I think, to say, this is, I always get drawn back here to X, Y, or Z. This is what I'm going to look into and say, is there a problem with this audience, like this area that I really care about? Is there a problem that they encounter day to day or whatever? And maybe start there. If you were in the brainstorming phase of like, what's next, that might be my recommendation.
Yeah, I like
Tony,
it.
I don't know if you have any thoughts.
I'll take anything on the brainstorming phase.
Yeah, I know we talked about this a little bit, I think, in a call a while back, Nick. But no, man, I mean, I think it's great. I'm, you know, knowing when to quit and when to move on is tough. I know with my first company, I held on too long with the tailored suit, and I should have made the transition. But once you start seeing a bit of success, you have money coming in, it's hard to turn something off, even though at the end of the day, you're, you know, really not making that much, or you're actually losing money, even though money's coming in. Yeah, you know, just I would say you said something about finding something you're passionate about. I find sometimes passion doesn't come initially at the beginning. It can come once you gain mastery and you realize that you actually have a knack for doing this, and then you can take it in. Like, honestly, I'm not passionate about clothing. What I'm passionate about is getting, you know, seeing the transformation in people. You know, Mike, I know he's popping in and out, but seeing Mike get up on stage at StyleCon and talk about his transformation and being able to, you know, for me, it was like, here's a veteran, here's a guy who I saw transform himself in a year. And to be able to say I was a small part of his journey is pretty darn cool. And that's what motivates me and gets me excited. So I was able to go into an industry where I had a competitive advantage. I focused in on solving problems. A lot of guys in my industry, they just focus on, well, how to, the things they talk about aren't burning problems. So, I mean, look at what worked in, I mean, I remember, I thought one of the best things you did with your last one is whenever that snowstorm was hitting, you were quickly trying to get in front of, and you threw out targeted ads on Facebook. So there, it's like, okay, like, I can do, like, you understand, like, there were a lot of wins in this thing, and being able to take those and move them, transition it into something else, I think that's, you know, going to be solid. I mean, I transitioned a tailored suit, what was working content, into Real Men Real Style. So I went from, okay, I can get 100,000 people a month to this little clothier, and now we're getting, you know, 1.5 million to another information portal, and I sell advertising and products. So it's, and I knew, I looked at what I hated with Real Men Real Style, or a tailored suit, which was actually sending out the clothing and waiting on hands and, you know, pins and needles. Are they going to be happy with it? And oftentimes no fault to my own, versus electronic products. I can deliver that all day, and worst case, I get a refund. Okay, you know, delete, I guess, that off your computer, and here's your money back. No harm.
Yeah, that seems like a great product. I love the electronic product idea.
Yeah.
That's absolutely awesome. Very cool, man. Well, again, I think you've done awesome. So just to keep me posted, man, if you want to hop on a call or something like that in the next week or two or something like that, and we'll brainstorm a little bit and see where you're at.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm actually releasing from the military on Friday. So, yeah. Woo-hoo! So, I'm going to do that this week and take a few days next week to enjoy that. And then I'll be back on the next call with some brainstorming notes in hand, I'm sure.
That's awesome, man. Sounds good. Well, I appreciate it, Nick. Thank you so much for the update.
Wicked,
Mike Mills, my man, a.k.a. Chipmunk Voice. What do we got?
Hello?
It's normal. Okay. I saw the
chat box. I know what it is. The webcam mic.
Okay.
Are you sure it's not because you talk really fast? Like a chipmunk?
No, I'm not going to be like Alvin and sing for you. I'm not good at that.
So, Mike, give us an update, man. I guess you spoke at StyleCon, which is awesome. Would you guys do an update last time when I wasn't at that one? Okay. So I won't dig into that, but I'd like to hear an update from you.
The brief overview is basically I've gotten my goals basically narrowed down, and I talked with Dave before about what I wanted to do, and I've kind of figured out that I really hate social media. I really don't like it. and I don't care that people like it. I care about what I like, and I'm going to pursue those, and I'm going to attack those with passion, because that's, as an entrepreneur, that's something I want to do. So if I feel like networking events are still okay with me and I can get my potential clients the way I need to, I only need 12 to be able to be completely independent. So if it takes me 3 to 5 months to do that, that's fine. I've got 2 networking events I'm going to soon that are local. I'm going to have a few more that I'm going to in Nashville. If there are big ones in Atlanta, I'm going there. I'm talking to a few people right now, delving deeper into mindset, and I think that's, I'm going to make that a big part of my service to make me not a fitness entrepreneur, because I really don't like being branded like that, because everybody's like something fitness this, something fitness that. I do nutrition. I'm a guru. I just want to fix problems. So I've kind of gotten into life coaching, which is weird. I didn't really see myself as a life coach. But the more and more I do it, the more I like psychology. So I'm looking into behavioral science. And I'm talking to Adam about partnering up with him, basically doing speaking. And I actually wanted to talk at StyleCon with him and do like a partnership and speak about how important mindset is into controlling your body and your lifestyle, and not just like as a man, but as an individual. Being aware of your problems below service level is basically how I've doubled and tripled my sales, is doing that aspect. I'll sit someone down for, I talked to someone for an hour, and all I did was ask, well, why? And then they start explaining, I want to lose 10 pounds. And I'm like, well, why do you want to lose 10 pounds? They go, well, I just want to be healthy. I was like, well, why do you want to be healthy? And, you know, it's real, real simple stuff. But if I ask these specific questions, and I know how to formulate these questions and tailor it a certain way, I can ask 5 questions and make $5,000 to $10,000, because I made that much of a change in 15 minutes. And I've done it multiple times with people I've never met. So that is where my focus is 100%. Going online before 2017 completely. I might be able to do that in the next 6 months, depending on who I get, and be completely out of the gym, at least on the front desk, and just right out the time with the last bit of clients, because I'm pulling at least 4 or 5 out of the gym. So those are $400 to $500 sales per person. So those are each $5,000 potentially. And then a bunch of different partnerships and stuff maybe coming down the road. But I got a lot of stuff going at once. Then I got this this health summit that I'm picking people up from. I've got a naturopath. I've got a cage fighter. I've got a ketogenic dieter that works with high-performance athletes. I've got a ketogenic dieter in Mexico that's been doing it for 15 years, been documenting himself. I just talked to a bunch of chiropractors that want to put me on a book. And then I'm going to use him for basically the biomechanics and understanding what chiropractic has done for me, because I found out my spine was messed up from a car wreck 4 years ago, and I'm recently fixing that. So I'm doing a lot of introspection in myself, trying to go below surface level with like the Deep Work book by Cal Newport, and nice. Trying to learn the immunity to change method that Adam is currently done. I'm probably going to go through his program, but I got millions and millions of different things going past my head, so I'm trying to keep it all in the forefront and not do too much, which is kind of how I felt like when I first met you two. But I kind of know where I'm at now, and I know that I'll be able to use what you taught me later.
That's awesome, man. Sounds like you're crushing it. So does that mean now, you said you needed 12 clients. Are you at 12 clients right now?
I'm not at the 12 clients that I want. When I was talking to Adam, he was explaining a certain way. The higher the number goes, the higher level of mindset. So say Antonio would be like a 5 or a 6. Normal people might be at a 3. So I'm trying to convert people from, yeah. you're higher, sorry.
He's at 30. That's what he said.
I'm trying to convert these people to a higher state of mind, because once they kind of, you know, step up, then I don't have to put in so much work. So they understand the value of paying $5,000 for services that are going to keep them out of the hospital, that can, one visit can cost them $5,000. You know, learning their body and caring about their spinal column, caring about, you know, building muscle tissue, understanding that, you know, when I go in the gym, it's not there to just hang out and, you know, try and pick up girls. It's, you go in there to lift weights and actually work on yourself. You know, and it's, you know, learning the dieting aspect and making an adaptive change, not just a regular change. Like, I could hand someone a skill set and they're not going to do it. I make an adaptive change in their mind, they're going to be a customer for life, and that's what I'm doing.
That's awesome.
And then building my email list, of course, but all of it corresponds to my email list on my website.
How's your email list right now?
Well, I just gained another 40, 50 people off the last, webinar that I was on, but I'm going to do my own, so that's going to be a lot bigger generation. I don't even have 100 people yet, so I'm attacking it more. But before I send out my first email, it's going to be after I do the summit on July 5th.
That's awesome, man. Dude, good work, Mike. You're crushing it, man. I'm excited to see what this this next year brings. I think you're doing great. You're right on track.
Well, I hope so, man. Some days I feel depressed and don't know what the heck I'm doing, but I figure that's just normal.
I think it's pretty normal. I don't know. Maybe other people are always aware of what they're doing, but I think a lot of times you feel like you're just making it up. But
well, there's a lot of people smarter than me. So I see that and I want that, but it's like I look at Antonio and I look at you and I look at all these people. Like, there's way more back work than I could possibly imagine put into that, into each failure, into each progression, in each part. And every time I progress and go through my mental failures, my level of clarity is just ridiculous. It gets better every time.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. I love it. I love to hear that, Mike. You're doing great.
Trying.
That's awesome. Antonio, I don't know if you have any questions, thoughts. I know we have. I know Zach came in the house too. I want to definitely hit him up in a second, but maybe you have some thoughts for.
Mike knows my thoughts, so he knows I love what he's doing, and it was great to have him out at in Atlanta for StyleCon. But yeah, let's hear what the old Zach Bob's got going on.
Awesome. What's going on, Zach?
What's going on, guys? Nothing much, man. Just same old, I guess. I don't really have anything, nothing really new to report from last week. I mean, I still got the one client that I was telling you guys about last week that was one of the biggest deals that I signed for a crowdfunding client so far. And I also, over the course of the week, I actually divvied up a little bit of my percentage and got another, like, I guess an investor to jump in on board who's throwing in a couple grand for ad spend. So we can start developing a list right off the very get-go with some Facebook ads.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
And then how's everything else going on the back end of that too? Like, are you seeking more clients? Are you trying to build out the course piece? What's the deal with that?
I have no idea right now, man. It's like, I'm playing keep up. That's what I'm doing right now. I just hired another VA last night or this morning. So they're going to be taking some of the work off my plate. I'm like about a month behind on the podcast. I think I got to catch up on that too. But right now, it's just trying to stick with it. I mean, I feel like I kind of say yes to too many things still. I know I should probably take my own advice. Like, I tell Dave all the time to quit saying yes to everything. But I say yes to a lot of different things, and then I get caught up having to do it, you know? And it's like, Well, shit. Now I'm like behind, and now I got to do this. And I got this. We're doing this email series, kind of about books and crowdfunding books, that we're a webinar series that I'm doing with Jared Easley, and that's actually coming out. And then also here locally, I started this little thing to pay my taxes, which was teaching Facebook ads classes to just like blue collar businesses here locally, just to kind of keep the grind going. So that's coming up again. I mean, we're doing well on that, and then Dave set me up a chance to speak to some of the entrepreneurs up north in Tulsa to kind of pitch the course. And then I got another date that I'm going up there to pitch crowdfunding. Clients are coming in. I'm starting to get more into the market and kind of away from the books, which is kind of what I wanted. You know, I wanted to get kind of away from the books. I was starting to fall into that niche.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're doing a webinar series on it, but at the same time, I'm getting a little bit away from it with some of these other campaigns that I got coming up. So it's all pretty exciting right now. I'm pretty stoked about it. I'm even happier to have this giant ad spend. Well, I consider it giant. I think $2,000 is pretty giant ad spend for Facebook ads for a Kickstarter campaign. I've never had that kind of ad spend going into a campaign. So,
quick question. This is funny because I've done a few crowdfunding campaigns at this juncture, and Facebook ads are always something that everybody thinks is sexy anyway. Have you ever thought about doing something like, you know, you just said that you were doing courses for Facebook ads anyway. Have you ever thought about just whipping up like a course on Facebook ads for crowdfunding campaigns?
Yes, I have thought about that. And I last time I talked to Antonio, I talked about kind of transitioning over to, I mean, you've seen them out there. Like you said, you've run campaigns before, so you know that there's these companies that just do nothing but Facebook ads or pay-per-click ads for campaigns, and they're crushing it. And that's kind of the model that I'm seeing too. And I know I'm comfortable enough to do Facebook ads for a campaign that I'm pretty sure I know exactly what they're doing. And I'm going to start kind of transitioning to that route as well.
It's awesome, man. It could be like kind of, it's one of those things, like we talk about niching down. I mean, that's niche. But I'll tell you what, anybody who's doing a crowdfunding campaign is going to want that if they want to hit over a certain amount of money, if you think about it, right? Yeah. Maybe not the person trying to do a $10,000 or $3,000 campaign, but who cares? If your market's over 50,000, those people are going to be running Facebook ads. So I see that as, and again, if you're still taking clients too, I see that as being very congruent to be able to both sell that a course like that and then also take on some clients. I mean, that's a great lead generator. I have people come to me like through the kind of the free courses and the paid courses I've done in the book publishing space to then come and hire me for my, you know, my services. So again, I think there's synergy between courses that you can create and then on the kind of the service end of things, if you want to go that route, and then eventually if you want just full-time transition over to the courses if it starts picking up big time, which I think I just Googled Kickstarter Facebook ads and it looks like there's just a lot of blog posts and stuff like that on it, but I don't see anybody dominating that space right now with like a course or a whole thing branded around Facebook ads for what's that?
So don't beat me to it.
It's yours, man. I wouldn't want to touch that, but yeah, I think it's ripe. So I don't know. I don't want to put another thing for you to say yes.
Plan, like with that other Facebook ads course, I've had the chance to. And that's earlier. I think you guys remember we always saying get David Site Garland on here. But I've had a chance to kind of play with Course Cats. Have you ever used Course Cats?
Haven't used it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's pretty kick ass, if somebody was just beginning out. Starting an online course, $45 a month for Course Cats. It literally walks you through step by step on how to do it. And it's a WordPress site, so it integrates with Lead Pages, which is awesome for me. And yeah, so if anybody wants to take a Facebook ads course, I got one up. You guys can check it out.
That's awesome. Do you have a Facebook ads course then ready, rock and roll?
Yeah, it's for real estate, because that's just kind of the niche. Because also, if you Google real estate, you're not going to find anything on Facebook ads for them either. So it's right now it's tailored for real estate investors particularly, but you'll get what you need out of it. You get the gist out of it.
Are you running Facebook ads to this Facebook ads course for?
We're about real estate investors. We just got that. We got a cease and desist from Facebook, and it's been a lot of drama going on the last week with all that. Mm-hmm. So. Now that like we finally got the correct domain name and they're not after us anymore, we finally got it actually launched. So we had some SSL problems and GoDaddy snitched on us. So that's where we're at now. And it just launched literally like this afternoon. We finished it and we're going to start pushing Facebook ads in about a week. Right now we got a list of real estate investors because we partnered with this local real estate firm and they're going to hit their list, and we're offering like a special offer right now for it. And then after 7 days, we're going to bring it back in at the regular price. So
it's awesome, man. Another thing you could do is probably scrape Zillow for every single, like you could use probably import.io and scrape Zillow and just get all those, I won't call them clowns, but all those real estate agents on Zillow, man. And then push, see if you can take that list and add them to Facebook or something like that. And then, as it like a custom audience. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it'd be that hard actually. I think there's
we're pretty connected too right now with like especially for here locally for all the real estate, because we got one guy that runs a group here called the OKC Entrepreneur Group. And he also partnered with me on the 1 Million Cups organization stuff. And he's, like I said, he's got his own firm, his own real estate agency, and they're doing very well. So at least he appears to be doing very well. So I'm hoping that his list will kind of perform this next week. And whatnot.
That's cool. Brian asked for a link if you have one, if you can throw that in the chat box.
I will. Okay, I'll put it in there. Also, have you ever talked about AdRoll on here? Does anybody know what AdRoll is?
I've never used it. Antonio maybe has.
Have you used AdRoll, Antonio? Can't hear you.
No, I haven't. I haven't used it. I'm very familiar with it. Go ahead. I'll let you take it.
Is there a reason? Like, I mean, is there any specific reason why everybody hasn't used AdRoll? I've been playing with it this last week, and it's pretty kick-ass. That's why I was just kind of wondering if anybody's ever thought about using that before. It's basically, what for people that don't know what AdRoll is, if Facebook ads, let's say you're running Facebook ads for conversion to your website, and then people are coming to your website, but they're not converting. You're seeing the clicks, you're seeing the traffic. Well, AdRoll can retarget them. So you can not only like retarget another Facebook ad so they continue to see it, because they say, what, you got to touch somebody 7 times before they actually consider buying. But not only will they continue to see it through the retargeting, you'll also get insights and analytics on where they go afterwards. So like if they come to your checkout cart and they don't finish, and then they're like, hey, let me go look at golfing shoes or something like that, you'll also get that analytics on where they went, the website they went directly after. So now you'll be able to refine your avatar or refine your search within Facebook to even more, because you start noticing that like everybody coming to your site's going to Facebook or golf, going to golf afterwards or something like that. I just thought
my question is this: is can you not just do that by having the pixel on your site anyway, and then collecting that the Facebook pixel, the tracking pixel, and then retarget that way?
You know that they're changing all those pixels, right? And there's like 12 new ones, and then like this other pixel, and it's a pain in the ass, and they make you change the actual code yourself now. But I know you can do the targeting, like the conversion, like see the traffic and who sees it. But what I'm saying is you're gonna get that extra data from AdRoll. It's like if everybody that clicked on your ad and you had a 10% drop off, with AdRoll you're gonna be able to pick up 30% of that extra 10% and bring them back in as well.
Interesting. It does it work across? It's not. It looks like it's not just Facebook, but it's Twitter, web. Does that mean
everywhere? I've only played with the Facebook, and it's only been this last week, so I'm still kind of new to it too. I mean, I'm not an expert on AdRoll, but it's definitely something very interesting, and seems like it's a game changer that a lot of people just are not talking about.
Well, retargeting is money, yeah. For sure. We're doing it. We just did it for a launch, and you end up getting leads for like. I mean, cents on the dollar versus like, you know, a cold lead, you know, might be $2 to $10 or something like that on Facebook. But if you retarget, you might get them at like 10, 20, 30 cents. And so again, the ROI is really good on retargeting. So yeah, I have never used it, but I once you dig into it, Zach, I'd love to hear what your thoughts are with it and how it's helped and improved anything you're working on.
Well, I'll be playing with it over the next month a lot. So I'll have some more information, more details on it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm going to take a look at it. It looks pretty cool. Is it a monthly? Do you pay like per? We can get off this topic in a second, but now I'm curious. Do you pay per, like, how does it work?
Just like Facebook ads, you set up a budget, like how much you want to spend a day, and then you go with it from there.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
They got a minimum too, and I think it's like the same as Facebook, like $5 a day or something like that.
So. Okay. Cool. Dude, that's awesome. Very cool. All right, guys. Well, I think we've hit everything. Antonio, I don't know if you have any thoughts or comments at this juncture. Cool. Let's see. Nice. Is there anybody I'm missing here? It looks like Mike Moreno. Are you on? Would love to hear an update from you, Mike, if you want to hop on and if you can talk.
Hey, I can barely talk. I've been fighting a cold with the hospital throughout Sunday, but still up in Newport, taking the Navy class. All's good with me. I shared with the group yesterday that I'm leaving my civilian job at the end of June, so I've got about a 60-day runway to get things going. And my wife gave me an idea for you know, like a small business. She's going to start get started and learn kind of how to run some things. So. I'm going to be doing helping seniors set up computers, kind of a small thing, but hopefully a way to get started. And that's a way for her to see me do business. Then once we get that off the ground, I'm starting to work some more on podcasting, but I'm looking forward to it. But right now, don't have a whole lot to say because it's hard to talk.
I'll spare you from it then, Mike. That's awesome to hear that. And I would love to get on a one-on-one with you in the next few weeks. If you want, we can kind of touch base about the podcast and see how everything's going there.
Appreciate it. I'd like to do that. Thanks.
Awesome. So is there anybody else that I missed on here? Sorry if I did. Just shoot a note or unmute yourself and say something. Zach, Nick, Michelle, Mike, James, Dave, Dave, Dave. There's three Daves, I think. One of them is a duplicate, Brian. Cool. I think we've hit everybody. Okay, so what I want to do is open the floor, actually, to see if there's anybody, because we've hit some really good topics. Like, I think you guys are all making awesome progress, which is really great to see. And what I want to do is kind of solicit this from you guys. What questions do you specifically have? I mean, I have some time here. I don't know, Antonio, if you need to head out at all, but I have at least probably like, you know, 20, 30 more minutes. But I want to give you guys the floor. Go ahead and ask whatever questions you have, and we can kind of deep dive into some of this stuff.
I have a question. Antonio, I still need your VA stuff. I don't know if that's really a question.
Yeah, so here's the thing is, like, I probably just need to do a live webinar and just make sure the time works with you, because I've gotten probably five people that have asked me for this, and I'm just trying to, okay, like, we're transitioning from, we're going to a new software program called, what is it, BrightPod. So I finally found a team management software, and I've just been trying to get them up to speed. So apologies, you know, I'm trying to think about how to do this and scale it in a way that, you know, I can put something together and share. Specifically, what do you want, Zach Bob? Like, what are you looking for?
I like the layout that you had. I can't remember half the stuff now, but I like the layout that you had for, like, the duties and how much they're supposed to spend each time on it. If I could get that, the graph that you have for that, and maybe some of the questions or some of the forms that you have them fill out in the beginning. You had one that was like, I think it was had something on the lines like, what's your goal, like, of working here, or, like, you know, what's your future plans or something along those lines. I can't remember all the questions you had, but there are some great starter questions to kind of really get the conversations going, which is a place that I feel like I lack in whenever it comes to hiring or talking to VA. I just end up hiring like the first or second person I talk to, and then when
yeah.
I work out, I go and hire another one. So it's
okay. Let me go ahead. I'll talk with Tom, but maybe if anyone's interested, and Tom, I think maybe a year ago we actually had something similar where I talked a little bit about the VA process, but I could just dedicate an entire an entire mastermind to just giving a 1-hour class and record that, and then you would have it. And you know, as long as we know that you're going to be at this, along with, I'll probably invite a couple other people who have asked me, and you know, so we will have a few other people in the audience and just let you guys ask questions. But I can format it and have some slides and just clearly show. I mean, for me, it's always basic things. I don't think working with VAs is too different than working with anyone else. It's simply you've got the cultural difference, and you've got usually the distance and the time. And if, you know, other than that, it's if you treat them the same you would treat anyone that you want to work with, you know, I find that, you know, not too much changes. But we are really slow to hire, and I fire fast, you know. But specifically, how do I do that with, you know, with specifically Filipino VAs, but I also hire people from Ukraine, hire people from parts of, we've got Europe. I've got a couple guys in Houston, so I don't really consider them VAs, but everyone works remotely. But I could talk a little bit about that, how I usually have I've got an entire list of what they're going to do before I hire them. And then I have, you know, I don't necessarily need to have I have usually about 3 months of pay at least that I'm very comfortable with. So I've got that set aside, which normally isn't an issue with VAs. But when I started hiring people locally that I'm paying thousands of dollars to every month, all of a sudden it was like, okay, I need to make sure I've got enough money kind of set aside so that I've got the runway to get them up to speed.
Yeah. And like I could just really start firing questions away right now, but I kind of want to, I think we'll save that for whenever we do the talk, or the actual webinar.
Okay. Well, really quick, Tom, when was the next time we've got a meeting scheduled? Is it going to be the 18th, I believe? So tentatively, I think we could just plan it for the 18th. Is that going to be something you can make, Zach Bob?
Yes.
Okay.
Antonio, sorry, yeah. I was muted. On the 18th, I have it says special guest. I don't know if we locked somebody down, or maybe we're just planning to have a special guest and maybe tweak it to
Yeah, we could.
I don't have a name actually locked in.
You know, yeah, we don't have a name locked in. What I can do, I'll bring in a few. I know I've got a few people outside of High Speed Elite who have asked this same question. So we may have a few non-vet guests here, but I think I can just plan on giving a straight up presentation on that. If anyone objects, you know, either let us know or send me a note afterwards. Because if need be, I could even start it a little bit early, and that way we could still have I definitely want us to have, you know, a strong mastermind and be able to catch up or be able to put someone in the hot seat, like maybe Jay Bear or HJB or any of those other guys who are able to make it. I know we've got, who is it? Who's coming back from? We've got a few guys that are out there. I just got some messages on Facebook from people that Joe couldn't make it tonight. Mark, BJ
couldn't. He was teaching lacrosse, but he said he'd try to make the next one.
But I could just probably plan on keeping it to about 30 to 45 minutes, maybe even starting a little bit early, and therefore. But yeah, if anyone, you know, isn't that interested, just let me know, and that way I'll probably schedule it early. But if I don't get a note that says, you know, I'm really not interested, then I'm gonna probably start it just at 6 tomorrow or on the 18th, and then from there we'll definitely keep it less than an hour.
Awesome. What I would say, guys, if you have questions about that too, maybe shoot them to Antonio and I, and then we can kind of compile those, make sure we address all those questions.
Yeah, Zach, like Bob, as you're thinking about this, just write, send me those questions tonight, and that way we can really, you know, make sure that we've got the answers for you there. And looks like
Antonio, real quick. Oh, Joe has arrived. Okay, but real quick, why'd you go with BrightPod for project management, and what were you using before?
I was using Google Docs, and so there really wasn't much I was using before. So I would use interlinking Google Docs. Mm-hmm. The reason I went with BrightPod is because they had a content publishing schedule, or they had a calendar that was right in it, and I didn't see that with a lot of the other ones. So this one seemed to be geared towards people that produce a lot of content. Mm-hmm. So that was – it's like for marketing managers and content creators. So, I mean, there's a lot of options. That's one of the confusing parts why I started with Google Docs. I was already using it. It was free. It was just very easy to already use what we were using. But I've reached a point where I want to be able to better see my team. They're now that big that I can't. And so that's, I want to be able to, I want to get notifications as they're knocking through things.
Awesome.
And cool. I see, yeah, Jay Bear's out there too. All right, so we've got. Let me see. Is Joe was out there? He's disappeared. Joe, you out there? Yep.
Joe, we'd love to hear from you guys if you want to hop on real quick. Joe, or Jay Bear.
I know Jay Bear, we got a call on Wednesday, so we're going to be talking about some of her stuff that she's got going on. And if it looks like we're getting some, I see Trello is being used, Dave Chesson's, and I've heard, I mean, Trello's great. I've heard a lot of great things. Asana, a solid Basecamp.
I use Basecamp 3 now.
And what are your thoughts on Basecamp?
I love it for client. The client side feature is amazing. If you guys do service based stuff, it's killer. So it's great for me. And I moved from Trello. I like Trello, but the problem is Trello becomes unmanageable if you have more than like 20 projects going on, and so it becomes just chaos because there's no way to like properly manage all of them. So Basecamp kind of allows me to better manage it. But yeah. That's just my two cents on those two.
Well, Michelle is a Trello user. We said Brian uses Asana. And one thing I like about Asana is there's a lot of training. I think I've seen just a lot of people that, because it's so big, you've just got all these people that have training for how to properly use it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things I do, I'm not selling Basecamp or anything, but people mentioned Slack. Love Slack, but we actually scrapped. We were using Trello and Slack and like kind of four or five different programs. And with Basecamp 3, I was able to nix all of them and just have everything in one. And the only thing it doesn't have integrated, and then I use that in conjunction with Toggle so I can see how everybody's time stacks up. across the team. So if you guys have multiple team members or VAs or whatever, you can create like a team toggle and make sure everybody's tracking time on the same projects and stuff like that. You can get pretty nerdy with this stuff pretty quick, so it's good.
Well, I think one of the keys is, you know, you want to get out of email. If you're using email to manage software and projects, it can get really bad really fast. And FYI, I see that Dave is he's lining up podcast guests for as we look to ramp that up again. So if anyone has, we're going to be starting interviews again over at High Speed Low Drag. So if you've got someone that you think would be a great veteran to be on the show, I'll be talking with Tom about this, but we're going to be bringing on new guests, and Dave's going to be helping spearhead that.
And then Dave asked, what's your thoughts on CoSchedule? So I've used CoSchedule with a client, and that's the only capacity, so I've only kind of like really played around with it a little bit. Again, I think CoSchedule is a great thing if you're content heavy, like you do a lot of publishing. I don't know if it's necessarily like a full-fledged like project management tool though. So then again, if you use it, you might be able to use it in conjunction with something like Trello, and that might work. I think the only challenge, of course, is if you want kind of like an all-in-one like project management tool. I don't know if it does it that well. When I use it with my client, they just use it for their publishing schedule, which is pretty aggressive. So, but yeah, it's smooth. It works really well. So, if you have any specific questions about it, I'd be happy to do a run through with you or something like that if you wanted to know. Built a form for me to be reaching out to everyone soon. Cool.
And I actually use CoSchedule exclusively for social media posting. I don't really have a team of people per se, but I do have a lot of content, a lot of articles that I publish. And so I think it's a really great way to take especially older articles and kind of publish them on social media channels far out in the future, and also get some analytics on, you know, whether or not my social media efforts are working. And that way I can double down on the ones that are working and then, you know, nix the ones that aren't. Like Twitter for me, I have found to be almost completely worthless. But now that especially the CoSchedule has integrated Pinterest into their social media, like pending post lineup, it's become invaluable for me.
Yeah, that's another feature about it, is it does track like the social media piece, doesn't it? Which can be useful. Okay, that's cool. Okay, guys, what questions, what else do you have? Obviously, Zach Bob will cover that one in way more depth. Next one, again, great question. So, but worth an hour. Just exclusively for that. James, Dave, anybody else in the audience? Joe, J-Bear, I know you guys came on late, but what questions you guys have? I have some time still to dig into these things. If you guys have particular questions, the floor is yours. That's it? All right. I guess we did really well today, Antonio.
How'd it go with the Guinness? The Guinness thing.
Oh yeah, I'll give my update real quick. So yeah, we did that. I think we broke in a Guinness World Record. I'm actually still waiting for Blab to process the video. So for those who don't know, it was me and Josh Denning, this other guy, we teamed up on this virtual summit. And we did everything via Blab, which is like essentially like almost like a social media webinar type platform. And I think it has a lot of room to grow. Anyway, I think it's a pretty cool platform, so check it out if you haven't used it. But we did it there. We did like 65 hours straight, and we recorded the whole thing, and now the video is still processing. So I've been in touch with Blab support for the last few days, and they're working on it to hopefully get us that processed video. Once we have that, we'll be able to submit that to Guinness to see if we can break that. And it was something like longest uninterrupted like live video or audio stream or something like that that like we'd be breaking. And then if you guys are wondering, we did about, I think, 7,000 emails, which was pretty good. I think we did over 30,000 in revenue, which was decent.
That's 7,000 or 7D?
Oh, not 7D, I wish. 7. So we did very much less than we expected, actually, subscriber-wise, which was kind of disappointing. But it's one of those things, kind of, I think the reality is, like, virtual summits are kind of played out to a degree, kind of is what I'm guessing a little bit. I still think it's a great way to kind of start a platform, and if you, especially if you have a niche, ours was kind of broader. which is kind of not what I would suggest for a lot of people. I think if you can kind of niche it down, you can say this is the, you know, like a Kickstarter one or something like that might be like niche enough where it'd be like valuable for that space, and you can kind of, you know, get the leads from that because it's kind of ripe for it. I also wouldn't recommend doing it live. So I would recommend doing a lot of things the opposite of what I did, which is, you know, it is what it is. Like we had our own strategy going into it. Some people said it was the best run summit they've ever been a part of, which is cool when we heard that from like the people who actually interviewed the speakers and stuff like that. So we were very super organized. Everything went flawlessly, basically, which is kind of crazy for a live event with, you know, 65 speakers in a row. I mean, it was kind of nuts, but we had all our systems in place, so it all worked. And now we're just looking at, you know, what happens next with that platform. So I to be honest, I got to figure out how that fits into everything else I'm doing, but it'll fit somewhere, or I'll sell it. I've never done that before, but I've always been curious about like selling an online asset. So we'll see. I'll look into that. Have you ever done that, Antonio?
No, I haven't sold anything online. So I think that is something. Yeah, I haven't done. How would you value it? Or have you thought about like, how are you going to package it up and sell it?
I don't know. Just one of the ideas I was kind of thinking about, because I don't think I necessarily would, but like if I were to do it, I'd say, okay, we have, you know, 7,000 subscribers. We have, you know, I guess, you know, I that's the thing. I think it's too small and not, it doesn't have enough life under it. And then the challenge too is it's too much my face or Josh's face. Like, can you even sell something like that? So I think if we were to sell it, we'd have to, I don't know. It's interesting. I don't think it's a realistic challenge for this one, but I've always been curious about how people, like sometimes when they sell like digital assets, I think if you have an email list, you have a platform and you have like sales funnels and stuff built out, I think it would be possible. I'd be really curious to learn how it's done. I know there's some dude that does it and writes about it, but I forget who it is. I got to look into it. Anyway, I just find it's more just kind of an interesting thing, because I know there's, you can kind of sell these digital assets, and I don't know how much they go for or what the free market rate of these kind of things are. But yeah, just kind of interesting.
Tom, out of curiosity, why wouldn't you do another live summit? Why would you do a pre-recorded summit instead?
So that's a good question. I guess my thought is this, is that when you pre-record it, you can plan the stuff out way in advance. So if you pre-record it, you can get everything done months in advance. If you do it live, now everything has to wait until that event to actually do the production of it. So if you pre-record, you can get all this, you can plan 6 months ahead of time and do, you know, all the work in the first few months, like in the, you know, 6 months leading up to it for all the recordings, get all the content created. And then when you actually go live, you can just focus on marketing. So that was a tough thing for us because we were going live. So we had a lot of marketing materials prepped, like all our emails, like we had like 30 emails pre-ready to sell and stuff like that. We had social media pre-ready, but like having stuff pre-ready is good. But like it would also have been helpful if I could have been able to step back from the whole event and seen how I could capitalize on the live event itself or capitalize on the event itself to further push the marketing. Like I totally forgot about Product Hunt. I just didn't have time because I was live, but I should have hit Product Hunt. I should have hit Reddit. There's 100 things I probably should have done. I was just, because it was live, I really couldn't, unfortunately. We hit Twitter, and Twitter, as always, was pretty useless. We did Facebook. The better. I mean, you got to test these things out. Yeah, so that's my two cents. But it just kind of depends what your strategy is and what kind of goal you're looking for. I think because we did the live thing because we wanted people to be interested in this, to be honest with you. Like, that's why we did the Guinness thing. It was totally purely a marketing play to get people interested, get people sharing. And I think it kind of worked. But I think with our subscribers, we thought we would end up probably more 10 to 20,000 subscribers, and we didn't. So that was kind of disappointing. But again, still 7,000 is not a bad place to start.
Yeah, I'd love to have 7,000.
I'm in the market to sell. I'm just playing. I don't know if that'll help with the sushi aspect of things. So. Cool. What other questions you guys have? Zach, Bob, Dave, Joe. Joe, you've been quiet, man. What's the deal?
I'm just reminding Dave Berlin he didn't use Snapchat today.
So let's can you hear me? So let's
right.
I'm curious, what are your guys' thoughts on Snapchat? Who's using it? What do you think of it?
I think it's amazing. I think it's
I mean, awesome. I only follow John Lee Dumas, so.
You know, I follow John Lee, but I get bored with his snaps. I hate to say that, and I wouldn't tell him that if he was here, but I mean, he's got to spruce it up a bit or something. I don't know. Like, I think it's like for people that are like podcasters that are looking to get into podcasting. I think it's probably more helpful for them, but I don't know. I've heard
some creative uses of it. Like, there's some, when we're doing the summit, somebody's telling a story. I think it was actually, I wonder if it was Dan Norris who's telling the story about some DJ that uses it. And like, I think for certain types of people and businesses, yeah, if you have like a engaged audience, like it's a great way. Antonio, I bet you could probably do it for like style stuff. Like, I don't know. I look at it as a platform though. I'm kind of confused why it's blown up so much or why so many marketers push it, because I feel like it's so awkward when people are recording themselves and then have to stop like every 10 to 15 seconds. And I don't know.
It's fear of missing out. You know, I mean, like, I can give away like crowdfunding advice. I can give away stuff that would only be in the course and then say, hey, it's on my Snapchat and it's only for my Snapchat people, and it's going to disappear in 24 hours. You know, mm-hmm. You get that fear of missing out plus 100% reach. Mm-hmm. Unlike Facebook, where you have to pay to get 100% reach, Snapchat, you've got 100% reach. And just by changing my profile pictures, being a little bit active on Snapchat, I'm watching it actually climb. And, you know, I'm only at like 20, 25 views, but at the same time, I watched it climb from like 4 views when I started in December, and now it's up to like, it's getting up there, you know? I think 25 snap is pretty good. But
so I'm curious, I mean, people that I've seen like change their picture, Tom, do you have, or has anyone heard of any case studies of like being able to get those numbers quickly up? My thing is, it's, you've just got, I mean, there's so many opportunities, and it's about making sure that you're trying to increase your batting average and just make sure that if you're going to spend time on it, you're going to hit it. I remember getting on Blab, you know, within a few weeks of it being live, and I liked Blab, but I just felt that the owners, the people that created it, they weren't going to take it in a direction for email collection. So for me, it was like, I mean, it's fun. I enjoy it. It's very social, but you know, it's not for email collection. I'd rather use my own hosted software where I can collect emails.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's 100 million users daily on Snapchat, 100 million users, 100% reach, 77% of college students are using Snapchat daily. And it's, like I said, the main thing is 100% reach. Does everybody remember when Facebook pages first started and you could just throw up a Facebook page? I know that was like one of my first businesses was selling cartoon characters on Facebook because I had 100% reach and it was working. And then when they restricted the reach, that meant I had to pay for ads and my budget was far off.
So are there any quick case studies of people that are using Snapchat and monetizing?
I think Gary Vee did it pretty good with his book launch.
Yeah, I wonder if there's anybody besides like internet marketers pitching using.
Yeah, let's look at people like outside the top 2%. I mean, anything Gary Vee does, just because if he's an anomaly, he's already got that huge audience that's hyper focused, that's all multimedia. But I'm wondering, like, is there somebody that's just, you know, so if there's a woman giving out style advice, you know, online, I mean, to me, that would be something that I could mimic. And I'm just wondering, yeah, kind of outside the internet marketer kind of stuff.
Oh, yoga. My wife's okay. A yoga person, and the yoga community, they're really into Snapchat. So like,
you'll see a
yoga girl or something like that or whatever it is, and they'll just be snapping away. And they have like probably hundreds of thousands of followers. I don't know on Snapchat, but like probably tens of thousands in Snapchat. And then I've seen them sell courses from it. So
yeah, I can't figure out, is there a way to go to somebody's website from it? I haven't been able to figure that out. I actually figured out Periscope easier than that. Periscope goes straight to their link and stuff like that.
You just put the URL in the comments, like, and then make it like a 7-second still, or you can, you know, do it again. And that's how I did it. I just put the link in the comments and say, hey, come check this out. You know, here's a free one.
Oh, gotcha.
It's new enough that, I mean, anybody that gets in on the ground floor of it, they can really be the superstars, kind of like the guys for Vine and stuff like that. In the first year that it's really taken off, it's kind of...
It's been around longer than Vine. It's been around longer than a lot of different social media platforms. And that's why I think it's... And like if anybody remembers, Facebook started in the dorms. Facebook started in the dormitories, and that's how it got expanded and blew up into what it is today. And Snapchat starting in the dorms as well.
Real quick, how do you know how many people are actually following you on Snapchat? Is this, it says number added me?
I have no idea. I just go by number. Yeah. I know people add me all the time, and I add them back because if you don't add them back, then it gives it where, like, they can't send you a, like, chat message. But
yeah, yeah.
I base my success off however many views I get on each one of my snaps daily.
How do you find out how many people viewed it?
You go to your – you hit this button. I don't know, the little bar down at the bottom right. You hit the little bar at the bottom right, and then you click the little buttons on My Story. And then you'll see your story, the pictures from your story, and it'll show you how many guys have seen it.
I don't have a story, so I guess
that's why. This is too comical. Post your
story. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I guess we could get into the merits of Snapchat. We'll have to get John on a call to talk about how he's using it to monetize.
I was really excited. I chatted with somebody at a concert Saturday night and found out she was at the concert, and she met me on the patio in 3D in real life. Off of Snapchat, and I was look at that Snapchat skills right there.
Dang. Dang, son.
Yep. My Snapchat game is on point. Is that how they say it nowadays?
Yep. Oh yeah, it's on fleek, man. It's on fleek.
Joe, what's going on?
Are you up, buddy? Joe, do you have audio? You want to jump in for a second?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello. Okay. All right. I've been away for a while, and I want to know, have you guys talked about the whole Periscope thing? Like, what do you guys know about Periscope? So you guys are talking about doing the marketing and all that stuff. You guys know about Catch?
About what? I don't know about Catch. I just started scoping 3 times a day, like, last week.
All right. So Catch is basically, it was made for Periscope. So you record with Periscope, and because Periscope deletes after 24 hours. Catch will keep that. And then you can upload it to YouTube and start building your YouTube channel, marketing that way.
That's the same thing with Snapchat. Like your feed, your daily Snapchat feed, you can download it every day. Snapchat. Well, no, okay, I understand that. It's not the same thing. I know Periscope. I use Periscope
too. I'm saying about uploading your Snapchat. But
Snapchat at the same time, but it puts it together for you in a nice little story throughout the day whenever you download it from Snapchat. So I'm just a
big. How long can a snap be?
10 seconds.
Yeah, Periscope, you can go for hours, so win. No, I'm just kidding, man.
What kind of battery do you have? I don't know what kind of battery you have.
Is it Facebook Live kind of beating out Periscope right now, though?
Oh, I have no idea. I got away from it. I was into it for a while. I just have a couple of friends in another business group that they've pretty much started, like, businesses on using Periscope marketing. So... You know, and that I heard it from them, but when I stepped away from this to focus on school, I haven't really caught up with it, and I hate Twitter, so I stay away from it. But I have used Periscope in the past, and I know you asked me earlier what was going on. Now that I got my mic working, the only real update I have is that I met a guy who has been doing internet marketing and copywriting and helping other businesses with like sales pages and stuff for about 15 years. And he just brought me, he's going to let me, give me some work to do. And he's going to teach me how he does those things. What I'm really looking for is how he does the pre-work, like all the research, the market research, and how do you analyze the business versus competitors and how he's going about that angle outside the industrial age, traditional, and in the information age, how we're going to do all that. So I'm really excited about getting cracking on that. And I'm hoping within 6 months or so, I can go off on my own. And do that. I'm hoping less than 6 months, but I'm going to give myself 6 months over the summer, basically, to work all that and then try to get back into the game full force. So, I thought I was going to be graduating with my undergrad in the fall, and my college decided not to hold the classes that I can do. So I'm stuck for another year doing classes on top of all this stuff.
Oof. So,
that's where I'm at. That's all I got. I'm sorry?
Sorry, what is your business, Joe?
Oh, I do conversions for online businesses. So I do sales pages and copywriting and like market research. But I try to funnel all down into a sales page and then increase the conversion rate. So that's my target, is to wherever the business is at, just help them get higher conversions is what I'm going after.
Right, and what are you hoping to gain by working for this guy? I'm just curious.
He's gonna teach me his copywriting and his systems that he's been using for like 15 years of development. And yeah, so he's just gonna, you know, for free. Other than like doing this stuff for him, he's gonna let me use his real clients and things and give me the ropes. He said it would just be easier for me to do it that way. I have no problem doing that. So,
okay,
that's where I'm at. Yeah,
it's awesome, Joe. Well, it's good to hear that, man. Definitely let's catch up soon. If you want to, when you're ready, just let me know and we'll hop on like a one-on-one and just catch up. But it's good to hear from you. I appreciate you hopping on the call with us today, man. Cool, guys. Any other questions? It are ideally not social media related.
Yeah, that's a can of worms that we probably...
It is.
I got a weird phone call from another veteran. I've actually got a few guys lined up possibly that are going to want to jump in on the next class, but I got a call from a guy who works for, he works for John Maxwell. Actually, his wife works for John Maxwell, and I think he's had his ear for a veteran program. Do you guys have any experience with any of the big licensed programs or anything like that where you're like a licensed facilitator of their content or anything like that? Do you have any advice or stay away or anything like that?
Like as in how to create a business where you do license or how to pay into like a license type thing?
Well, I don't have all the details yet. He reached out to me and said that we're part of a different online group, and he reached out to me because there's only a handful of veterans in that group, and he's got some big thing working with John Maxwell. I just didn't know if you guys had any experience with licensed content for different thought leaders and stuff like that. I know like Tony Robbins does something like that and things like that. I just don't know if you guys had any experience on that stuff.
I would definitely defer to Antonio. The people I've talked to, I think it's a great, I love the idea of actually being the person who licensed something. Just like I like the idea of actually being the person who owns the franchise and gets franchisees to buy in. I think that's a great business model. As far as being the person who buys in and becomes the franchisee, I think you're, you know, that's kind of your cap right there. It's like managing a Subway. Like, is that really what you want to do with your life? And it could be, and there's nothing wrong with that. You can do really well. You can kill it in some areas. Yeah. But at the same time, the person who's really killing it is the person who's selling the licensing and the franchise. Again, depending on the market, it's actually, if the person has a name behind it, a brand, I mean, again, yoga, somehow my mind's on yoga now. The whole yoga world is built on that type of licensing. Not actually on franchising. So like, it's interesting, like it's a model that can work, but it's, I don't know whether it's a right or wrong thing to do. I don't know if you have any two cents on this, Antonio.
I don't know enough about this to, you know, I'm a little bit confused as to what the offer is and how it's going to add value.
Yeah. Like I said, I'll know a little bit more tomorrow. I just didn't know. I've seen a lot of those different advertisements and stuff like that to where you can, you know, go to Joe Polish's, you know, $10,000 Genius Network and you're licensed to do their stuff or whatever. I just didn't know if you guys had any experience with that stuff.
Yeah, unless you've already got, I mean, just, I'm not going to be running to go to some guy just because he's Infusionsoft certified or he's Joe Polish certified or any of these things. If you already have an existing clientele, and someone is asking for it, or it's a parameter. But I find that there's just a lot of these certifications. I mean, I find that you really need to make sure you're going to get your ROI on that. It's but a lot of people want them. I have people that go through my courses and we don't have certificates, and I get requests, especially from image consultants. Hey, can you build me out a certificate so that I can have that? Because they want those to be able to show for some reason, you know.
Have you ever considered actually licensing, Antonio? I feel like you actually, if you're getting the request, man, I mean, you probably could, yeah, be a whole thing you could do.
Yeah, it's just about time and where to focus. You know, it's like, because
I gotcha. That's fair. Cool. Good question, though, Dave. Yeah, I'd be curious what the offer is, your actual license.
And then I've got one more question to you. One of my best friends is in from the Navy. It looks like he's going to be getting out here within the year. He's a nuclear sonar tech. and smart guy, lots of clearance. He's looking at doing some consulting and different things like that. But his wife is, I've been talking to them. They've been back home for a couple weeks now. She does, it's a multi-level marketing, you know, direct marketing thing. It's for kids' books called Usborn. And the home base is actually right here in Tulsa. Where she's been really successful with it is she's a military spouse. And I don't know if you guys know about military spouses, but a lot of times they travel in major packs and they tend to have lots of kids. So she's been really successful on that route. She came to me like wanting to know different ways to leverage social media to start doing Facebook groups and stuff like that. She didn't know which route was going to be the best as far as doing a group first. I thought Facebook groups would be the best thing. That and YouTube, it seems like there's a handful of people for that specific one that have like over 200,000 views on just basic book review, you know, sites and stuff like that. So I was trying to push them in the right direction, but I was letting her know that she could really capitalize on the military spouses, and I pushed ConvertKit over to them so she can start building out her list and stuff like that. I should know if you guys have had any experience with any of the, I'm not a huge fan of the multi-level marketing stuff, but at the same time, whenever there's a specific niche like that, it seemed like it made a lot of sense to me. I did some research on the company. It seems like it makes a lot of sense. I should know if you guys had any experience with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. It sounds like Antonio will have some experience when he spins off his licensing business, though. And I'll be the first. Done. I'll be the first buyer.
Yeah. Well, I immediately thought, let's do a line of kids' business books so they can start like running lemonade stands, because I couldn't find really any kids' business books. But
Rich Dad Poor Dad doesn't have a line. Huh?
They might. They might. My son's reading that right now. I'm paying him $75
to read it.
Yeah. Well, him
but
and
he's
his
just an employee. You're just teaching him to be an employee right now.
No, we're gonna invest the $75 for him and his friend to start a business over the summer.
Okay, that's fair. That's better. They have to pay back the interest though, so they have to be profitable from day one. I like it. Cool guys.
See, my trash is empty. There's my worker.
Cool.
I had all my trash emptied. You know, he actually cleans out the computers. I'm like trying to show him that, you know, understanding higher level work of, you know, cleaning trash, that's $5 an hour. You know, cleaning off my computers, doing security searches, being able to dive into that kind of analytics stuff. Hey, that's $50, $100 an hour work.
There you go. I like it. That's awesome.
All right, guys.
Okay, cool, guys. Well, are there any other remaining questions? Because we're coming up to the top of the hour here, so it's been about an hour and 45 minutes. Good talks, though, so far.
Is Jay Bear out there?
She is. She said not much new from the last call. I don't know if you want to hop on, Jay Bear, but we can get a quick
Yeah, not much since the last call. I'm still bootstrapping my website. I completely like nixed a whole layout and went in with a drag and drop. Currently I have like filler images and stuff like that up and filler text and stuff. So I'm trying to figure out everything that I'm going to put on there. So like my services page, you know, what I'm offering, like speaking and coaching and like whatever packages and stuff like that. What contact information I would put up, what I want for images to, you know, show what I do, things like that. So, and I'm bootstrapping that because I don't have $3,000 to pay somebody. And, you know, if I can learn to do it, I know that later on when I can pay someone to do it, I'm not going to be shammed out of, you know, whatever. So the only new developments is I have personal stuff going on. And other than that, it's just reading books and absorbing more information. It's funny, I read a interesting excerpt on addiction, hence why I hopped on the call late, because I was so soaked up into a book. I read a whole 300 pages today. But I figured one of the topics, like one of the packages that I would offer on for my services is about gaming addiction or addiction to technology in general.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, what do you think is the new timeline for the website?
For it to be up, because I have drill this weekend, then I have to travel to Arkansas next weekend as well. If anything, I want it to be completely up by mid-April. If not, let's see. Hopefully by April 24th, it'll be completely live. Just have everything sorted out and stuff. Just due to my weekends being taken and things like that.
Gotcha. Okay, very cool, Jennifer. It's good to hear from you. Are you struggling with anything at the moment?
It's just personal stuff with my dad's business, which I was gonna speak with Antonio about on Wednesday. Pretty much it went from when I was a teenager, it was like 9 family members working in the business, but over time, just due to family members leaving and family members passing away, we just don't have the staff, honestly, to have, you know, consistency and quality and everything with it. I work 3 nights a week with my dad right now because I told him that's what I would do. And any other time is invested in my own business, my own research, and he understands that. But him trying to find people right now for the business is hard. And essentially, he needs someone to be a manager for him. And for me, that's not something that I want to do for him. But I find myself doing tasks for him in that way because he doesn't really understand it in the English term. So I have to do a lot of translating and things like that. And so it's really difficult to try and do my own thing when I'm trying to help him with that, but at the same time to not completely delve myself into it and have any sort of resentment build up between me and him.
Totally. So I would hope that, though, it might be some good learning experience. I mean, you know, get to see how the business operates inside and out and stuff like that. I don't know if you can pull some positive ways from it. I think that could be a positive.
It's definitely a growing experience to be doing some of the management stuff for my dad. But I mean, I've known the field since I walked into it at 13, 14, where it was like I'm of age to be helping them. And so, you know, I can go from taking orders, doing front end management, things like that, to, you know, to cooking in the back, doing prep work, packaging, delivering, things like that, logistics, inventory. And so it's a little bit of everything that I've learned over the years. Now more of the management stuff is like helping my dad with like the bank accounts and, you know, taxes and then like closing out during the day or after the day's over and things like that. But it's just, it's good experience for sure. And it's challenging in its own way, but at the same time, I find myself, it's not necessarily something that I want to step into, but it is good experience. Like, especially the last week or so, it's just being firm with the customers, because a lot of people will say, you know, the customer is always right, but in a way, that's just pretty much letting the customer get away with whatever they think they can get away with. So definitely, you know, having to be firm, even though generally that's not my personality type, you know, being in a leadership role in the military and then, you know, having to change how things operate in the restaurant and stuff, it's just being firm and having things be yes or no and, you know, not maybes and no gray areas when it comes to that, so you can provide the consistency and quality that your customers are looking for.
Gotcha. Well, you know, again, I guess you'll have to call with Antonio, but I would just say stick it out. You're doing the right thing. And the fact that you're being able to put some time into your own stuff is good. And just don't lose sight of that. Just, you know, plug in the hours that you can. Make sure that those hours are as useful as possible. I mean, I know when I was still in the Army was when I was bootstrapping my stuff on the side. And I'm grateful for that time to be able to have kind of that day job income or whatever while I could bootstrap it. But it also forced me to kind of be more particular with my time and more focus. So I think you're on the right track, and I'd say keep it up, and hopefully in the next couple weeks here we'll have some updates from you. And again, if you have any questions, like specific ones or any specific challenges with your business, definitely don't hesitate to reach out to Antonio or I. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, well, I know that we're going to talk here soon, so I'll definitely, J-Bear, if you can send me any info about more about the business, I'd love to hear about, you know, the restaurant and how many hours and, you know, if you want to send me some more info before our call on Wednesday, that way I'll be able to read through it and come to the call prepared.
Okay, yeah, I'll definitely shoot you an email with information and things like that.
Sounds good.
I just didn't want to overwhelm it in that first initial email that I sent to you a week ago.
Got it. No, not a problem.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. I'm out of here. Have a good night.
All right. Good conversation. Take care, guys.